right, lover listeners, that was Maximum Rock and Roll Show Tape 64. That's it for this week for Uncle Dirk and his historic tapes of the Maximum Rock and Roll Show. In case you have any questions or want to correspond with us, you can reach me at info@outspokenideas.com. Or you know Frank Moore's number and or his email address, so be sure to get in touch with us if you have comments, questions, or whatever. And prepare yourself next week for show number 65, and I believe, no, it's show 62 next week, and I think I'm a guest on that show. So get your tapes ready, and hope you have a great week. Onward and upward. Bye-bye.
Hang on, Maximum Rock and Roll! Maximum Rock and Roll, I'm Tim. That was a group called the Offbeats from Cleveland, Ohio, off a new compilation, cassette compilation, actually, called This Tape Sucks, put out by Oops Fanzine from Willoughby, Ohio. And the song was called Society. A whole bunch of great Midwestern garage bands on that. All right, speaking of the Midwest, let's hear something from a new album, compilation album, called The Master Tape. This band is a band from Indianapolis, the Zero Boys, who are going to be moving to San Francisco, and the song is called High Places.
I don't know whoever who you are, you little son of a bitch, but I'm going to call the law on you!
Yeah. train. Nothing to do, nowhere to go, no one to see, not even TV.
That was another cut off that compilation album. That was the Slammies doing Frustrated. Before that, the Gerbils from Detroit doing No Way. And then another cut from that compilation from a band called Learned Helplessness doing Veggies. And then De Kreutzen from Milwaukee doing This Hope. And Zero Boys started it off. And here's Ruth.
Starting off a very international show tonight. This is a new single from a band in Switzerland called A&P. The song is Landsberg.
Oh, my God. solidarity flag. I'll be the rival cattle solidarity.
That's a band called I Refuse It from Florence,
yeah.
Italy. Stefano, the lead singer of that band's here.
Yeah.
Visiting San Francisco.
Very well. And we are five guys from Florence, yeah. I am the singer of the band. Walter is the drummer. And then Sandro is the bass. Pino the guitar. And Bodes are the noise and synthesizer. Well, we play in Florence, but... We are one of the few bands that play hardcore music in Italy because play hardcore music in Italy is very difficult. We in Florence there are two or three bands that play hardcore, and the rest and the others band are all making a sound like Joy Division, and this group they have an English sound and I don't like it very much. We are one of the arrived to hardcore, hearing very much Los Angeles group, Los Angeles band, the San Francisco band, like the Germs and the Dead Kennedys, or recently the Flipper and so on, or Australian band like the Birthday Party, that are our favorite bands, if we can call it so. But to play in Italy is not simple like here, I think, because it's very hard to find places where play. It's very expensive to buy instruments. For the first, it's very difficult to informate, to have to give information to people about us, and also to play in places and so on, because for us, if you want to play in Italy, you have to take contacts with political parties and so on. And if you want to make a thing yourself, it's impossible.
What political parties do you have to align yourself with?
Principle there? The Communist Party, Italian Communist Party, that organized a lot of parties and manifestations when you can play if you want. But if you want to play for other guys, it's very difficult. Because there are some organizations, like anarchist organization, but they are without money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a lot more of a tendency for the small group of punks in Italy to align themselves with the political organizations, or to be more political themselves?
Yeah, because a lot of punks in Italy too they come from political organization. They come from the movement of 1977. You know, 1977 was in Italy a period of riots.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, a period of battle with police. Yeah, every day, and a lot of punks come from this period. And now is there is a affinity with between punks and anarchist political organization. You know, yeah, but we have great problems to play, because we have great problems with money, above all. We have a problems with people who lives in town, yeah? Because if you play after midnight, it's difficult to play after midnight, yeah?
Is that a law?
You make noise and so on. And we are lucky, I think, because we have a place where go to play.
Oh, you do.
I think that the first problem for a band is to find a place where play in Italy.
Is this a place where you play for other people?
What?
This is a place where you're playing for other people, or you're just allowing yourselves to play?
It's for us. We have a thing. We have thought to give the place to other people, but there are problems. They stole us the things, and so we can go.
No, one of your first comments to me was that in Italy nobody pays to go see a show. You still contend that, whereas you saw people here paying, you didn't see people.
Where?
Well,
no.
Pay around here.
Well, that was one. Is that true? Well, you said that a lot of people don't pay to see the shows in Florence.
Yeah, the show. Yeah, there is.
Which makes the money so hard.
Is there another situation from here? I think, for my first impression that I have of concerts in San Francisco, it's another situation, because in Italy there are only few concerts, and when there are concerts, a lot of people comes to see the concerts, and punks that are people with no money, they don't want pay to see a group, because thousand people go to see a group, a big band when they come in Italy, because there are rare the shows, and the prices of the tickets are very, very high for us, and so the people don't want to pay. I think that they are right.
We should play this other band. You brought another tape.
Yeah, they come from Pisa,
which is close,
near Florence. they have had some problems with police times ago, because during our show there was 14 people jailed.
The police?
Yeah, the police wants to stop them, and it comes to riots.
This happens at this band's shows?
Yeah.
Yeah. This
it's
is
very,
um,
very hard shows the, of the band.
Cheetah Chrome and the Mother Effers, right?
Yeah, before you do that, somebody called in and said, what do Italian punks think about all that celebration about the World Cup?
The World Cup? All of the punks were to celebrate.
Yeah?
Yeah, right. Because it was old people were to celebrate that day. For 2 days, for 3 days, all in the streets, everyone. They are prize to everyone.
Anyway, should we... this was a tape from Cheetah Chrome and the Mother Effers
from Pisa.
Yes, they
have made a single, too.
This is a track off of that single.
Okay. Do you have anything else to say?
I want to thank Stefano for coming in. He's on the phone now. That was Cheetah Chrome and the Mother Effers doing Terrorist. Go ahead, Ray.
Okay. Now it's time for our punk oldie set. This week's letter is O. Now, O is a good letter to pick for a band because you don't have too much competition when you get to disc jockeys like me who are just looking for records to start with O. So here is our set. The Odds doing Living in an Angry World.
More living in an angry world.
Okay, for our punk oldies set, we heard The Odds doing Living in an Angry World. They're from L.A., and then The Outcasts from Ireland did You're a Disease, and then The Offs from San Francisco / New York did Johnny Too Bad.
And now, we're going to hear something by The Insane, an English band called El Salvador, which is going to introduce our thematic interview.
Was El Salvador by The Insane, and El Salvador is indeed a subject we're going to be talking about a little bit tonight. I have here tonight Wayne Ditzel, who used to be in one of the early bands of the San Francisco scene, the Ready Mades.
Them was the days.
Right, and now he, besides writing in his spare time and stuff, is helping out with Amnesty International and has done a lot of research on El Salvador. And
go on.
I thought I'd open here with something I took out of the paper yesterday. It said, El Salvador's Catholic Church yesterday reported that there were 107 political killings last week. At the very same time, the U.S. Embassy prepared a report claiming human rights conditions were improving. What do you know about this?
Well, first of all, I should say I'm speaking, first of all, about as a citizen, as an individual, not as a representative of Amnesty International. And
later on we can go into
Amnesty. Okay, as far as this, what has generally been the case in El Salvador is that the United States gets their figures from the El Salvadorian press, which basically is controlled by the government in that country. The figures, accuracies are highly doubtful, especially to people, you know, who have given testimony as far as tortures and killings and disappearances. The United States Embassy continues to prepare reports saying that the conditions are getting better in that country, basically basing their proof on the fact that less murders are occurring than happened about a year ago. But what I'm trying to get at is that this basic situation, to use the basic phrase, hasn't changed, basically.
Okay.
If you basically know what I'm talking about.
I think I basically...
No, the situation hasn't changed. See, the people responsible for the killings, which have been overwhelmingly found to be members of the military or paramilitary organizations, of the killings that have occurred, not a single person has been brought to trial. There have been some people detained for those killings, but there have been no prosecutions and trials that have resulted in conviction and something that would show that they're really trying to stop this.
Right. On July 28th, President Reagan certified that conditions were improving so that we could send new aid to El Salvador. Obviously, I mean, it depends on what statistics people are citing to prove their point, whether things have or haven't changed. Are disappearances still very common?
From what I've been able to find out about it, unfortunately, they are common. It's very hard to get accurate statistics on El Salvador. I don't believe anybody has accurate statistics on what goes on there. The government, as I said, tends to manipulate statistics towards its own ends, which is getting American aid. And people who are trying to go out into the countryside to find out what's happening with the peasant population and whether there have been disappearances or killings there are having a hard time because of the civil war. The warfare that's going on makes it difficult to get a lot of information mm-hmm. and to get into those areas.
Right. So by no means has that war scaled down at all.
It has not. And as I said, the fact that it's impossible to get accurate information as to the statistics makes the U.S.'s basing their approval of El Salvador's human rights policy on those statistics totally invalid.
I see. How about the land reform program, which supposedly was one of the reasons that was cited as something to show how this new government was going to be progressive and go along with the previous Christian Democrat government's program of slow land reform, that the new right-wing government, you know, was cooperating with that. Is that, what do you know about that situation?
The statistics that I have show that the land reform program is continuing. That is, two of the three phases are continuing. The first phase, which breaks up the large plantations into cooperatives, if I can look at my figures here, a very small percentage of the total amount of properties that have been broken up have been given to the small percentage of those cooperatives have been given a final title to that land. So it's still got a long way to go as far as implementation in that area. And the third phase of the land reform program, the land to the tiller program, which gives small farm acreage to tenant farmers, has also, that has been somewhat more successful, but has also only achieved a small percentage of final titles.
What is Amnesty International's position in terms of El Salvador? I mean, what are they trying to accomplish?
Okay, Amnesty International is a non-political organization that works for human rights. It works on behalf of prisoners imprisoned for their political beliefs, their religious beliefs, race, sex, nationality. It does not take a political stand in the El Salvador conflict, and it does have cases, it should be pointed out, in both communist countries, capitalist countries, countries with any kind of government where they find human rights violations. Okay, so you have cases in El Salvador as well as in Vietnam, the current regime in Vietnam, or in Poland, or in South Africa, you know, mm-hmm. all sides of the political spectrum. Okay, Amnesty International does not take a side in the issue of who should run El Salvador. The thing that Amnesty International is concerned with is the violation of human rights that they have documented in that country, which they have found to be generally attributed to military organizations or paramilitary organizations operating as death squads.
These are right-wing organizations.
Yes, they. Now, it's not saying that all of them are attributed to that to those groups, but the majority mm-hmm. of the testimony that they've, that Amnesty International has collected, implicates military or paramilitary groups in
right.
these killings.
Okay.
Yeah. I just want to say what Amnesty has been doing is sending appeals and researching cases, especially in disappearances, trying to find out what has happened to these people. And at the time of the first certification that Reagan gave back in March to the government of El Salvador, they did send a telegram to Secretary of State Al Haig and pointed out that in the opinion of Amnesty International, based on the facts that they have come up with, the human rights situation in El Salvador had not improved sufficiently to warrant a certification.
Is there any reason to believe that that this approach will ever have an impact on these governments? I mean, it seems like, you know, whistling in the dark here to send telegrams to Al Haig. And I mean, is there any sort of long-term way of having an impact on policy?
Amnesty International is an organization that uses what you might call weak means to achieve its ends. Okay, we write letters, we send telegrams, we visit embassies. We don't demonstrate, we don't, you know, kidnap, we don't do things like that. It basically operates on the principle that, you know, if you work on a non-political issue, that is not taking a political side on a question, but simply concentrate on the human rights issue, whether somebody's been imprisoned without any charges, as it often happens, there people are detained for months without actually being formally charged, mm-hmm. or other cases where the human rights have been violated. That is what Amnesty is concerned with and works toward, and it has been very effective. It has been documented that I don't know the exact number of cases, but there have been a lot of people whose release has been attributed to Amnesty International.
Okay. If people want to get in touch with Amnesty, how can they do that?
Okay. Well, the San Francisco office of Amnesty International is on Sacramento Street. I believe it's. I believe I should have brought the address with me. I believe it's 3618 Sacramento.
Okay.
And they are listed in the phone book if you do want to get in touch.
Okay.
It is a human rights organization that I believe does good work within the limited means it sets for itself.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much. All right, we're going to play two more songs about El Salvador. First, a new single by Mofongo from New York, and then Capital Punishment from Fresno off the Maximum Rock and Roll compilation album.
Okay, so from our little thematic interview, we're going right into a Finnish set, and I'm telling you right now that Finnish hardcore punk is by far the best in Europe, and it blows everything else I've heard from there off the stage. And we're going to start out with the one, the only, Tervi Kadet with Pisa ja Paska.
kuinka kauan tän saa kestää meitä aivon vettä, kuka sen voi sentää?
Okay, great Finnish thrash music there. The last one was Nuka Teatteri with Lopetka. Before that, Kohu 63 with Aivo Pesu. I don't know that one. I haven't heard that one sung enough. Before that, The Bastards, that one's easy, with Lota. And we started things off with the really awesome band, which every song on their record is on their records, I should say, is totally great. Tervet Kedet, and that was Pisa Ya Paska. Okay, that's it.
All right, next up we got some East Coast stuff. And I think we'll start out with something from Void from DC. This is called Explode.
Thank you.
start out that set with The Void from DC doing Explode, and then No Thanks from New Jersey doing Bleep the Past. That's it for Maximum Rock and Roll this week. Send your tapes, letters, records to Tim, Box 288, Berkeley, California, 94701. We're going to end with Tucson's band ESS, Full of Change, next week. Bye.